This past Thursday, our nation, really the world, celebrated the 75th anniversary of D-Day, when Allied forces landed on the shores of Normandy, June the 6th, 1944. This week, when I had time, I tried to catch a few of the military shows that gave the history, the accounts of those who landed on that day and all that took place. And about 4,200, 300 Allied troops were killed that day. 2,500 American soldiers gave their lives. Why? Well, they were on mission. They understood what they were supposed to do on that day. It was a game changer in World War II when they did that. Do you understand your mission for your life? Elvis Presley had an album, the album of his greatest hits. For 3 weeks, it was number one in the nation, 25 years after his death. Think of that. Those who knew Elvis, his friends, his family, I went to school with his stepbrothers, David and Rick Stanley, was in a life group class with David Stanley for about a year while Karen and I were there and I was attending the school before I started pastoring. And they told us personal stories about Elvis and the fact of what others said, that he died as a very unfulfilled and unhappy man with all of his success. His wife Priscilla was interviewed and she said this: Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage, and he wouldn't have to think about it. I think we do the same. I think we're not really sure who we are. We're not sure what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. So we go on the stage and we play our part. We just stay busy. Why? So we don't have to think about it. And really deal with the deep questions of, why did God put me here on this planet? Elvis felt like he had something to do. To preach. To save. To serve others. But he couldn't figure it out. Now, I don't want you to make that same mistake with your life. What is it that really brings fulfillment to you? Paul said in Ephesians 2, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, what is Paul saying? You were made to make a contribution, not to consume. If we really stop and think about it, most of life is about consuming. America is built as a great nation because we are a consumer nation. Consumers keep consuming. But what about your life? Is it really about you and about you consuming? When you come to church, is it about consuming or is it about contributing? I'm not talking about giving money. I'm talking about giving your life in a missional way, understanding God's purpose. Notice what this verse says, that you were made to make this contribution, but you're also made to make a difference. And you're unique. You're uniquely created. But why? That uniqueness is not just for you, it's for others. Peter writes, "Based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others." You know, some people want to serve God, but they just don't want to serve others. That's like saying, "I love the ministry, but it'd be great if it weren't for people." And I know guys who have that attitude. They want to serve God, but they don't want to serve people. And it's all about serving others. The only way you can serve God is by serving others. The Bible calls this ministry, but it's a word that's often misunderstood. In the Bible, the word ministry and the word service is the same word. The word minister and the word servant is the same word. The Bible doesn't make a distinction in how all of us are to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are those who make it a vocation of their lives, but all of us are to be serving. All of us are to be ministers. Now, we see that great act of service, of ministry in Jesus Christ. Now, why did Jesus come to earth? Well, he came to serve. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Well, somebody might say, well, I don't feel qualified to serve. Well, join the club. Nobody does. I certainly don't feel qualified to do what I'm doing right now. I mean, wow, to think that I'm able to preach for God, to be able to share the gospel, lead a church, to serve others. I certainly don't feel qualified to do that. And for you to serve the Lord, you may not feel qualified. Well, you're not alone. And in the Bible, we're going to find those who didn't feel qualified to serve, but they served. They lived a missional life. If you will, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to take some time this morning to look at the characteristics of those who served. And I'm praying today that God will help you see that serving God, living a missional life, is a game changer. Remember, we've talked about this, and we wrap up this series today. The game changers of our lives, the first, of course, is salvation. Knowing that God has allowed me to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And then discipleship is a game changer. Continuing to grow in my faith. Prayer is a game changer. Studying God's Word and living out His Word is a game changer. Understanding my identity in Jesus Christ is a game changer. I really hope if you weren't here last Sunday, you'll go back and watch the message, because so many people are missing out in their lives because they don't know who they are. They're listening to the lies of others. They're allowing others to identify who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. Today, it's about a missional life. And notice these. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 8. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it, our ancestors were approved. And he's going to give examples. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. That means the invisible God created what is visible. He talks about Abel, his missional life. Enoch, Noah. Now verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, that is in Canaan, Israel today, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah, that is his wife, herself, when she was barren, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. And therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, that is Abraham, came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been remembering the land they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, the son that was born to him and Sarah, who had received the promises, was offering up his unique son, about whom it had been said, "In Isaac your seed will be called." He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead, from which he also got him back as an illustration. An illustration of what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happened then was a picture of what was going to happen in Christ. Now I want you to notice this morning five characteristics of these people. I didn't read all of them. I don't have time to do that. And but yet there's a thread running through each of these. Number one, a missional life is an ordinary life. It's an ordinary life. In Hebrews 11, these people were ordinary people. They didn't have a seminary education. They didn't have any mighty positions. They were sinners. One was even a prostitute, Rahab, as we see later on in the story of Abraham in chapter 11. You see, we're all misfits. We all have our faults. We all have our failures, as these great people of God had their failures, but still God used them. They had missional lives. They understood why God put them on earth, and we need the same. You see, God doesn't use perfect people because there aren't any. Listen, if God used perfect people, nothing would get done that he wanted to get done because there aren't any. None of us are. And that's because only God gets the glory for what happens. We can't receive the glory because we're imperfect people, but it's all about him living these missional lives. You know, we often feel unworthy to serve God. As I mentioned, we feel not qualified. We think we must be significant before we do anything significant. And again, if we would wait for that to happen, nothing would get done. We just be obedient to the Lord. A lot of people spend much of their time trying to figure out their self-worth, their self-esteem, their significance in life, as we talked about last week. Well, you don't get your self-worth from success. You don't get your self-worth from your status. You don't get your self-worth from your salary. You get your self-worth from your position in Christ and by serving Christ, living your missional life. The greatest thrill in life truly is to be used by God. I've had a lot of good things happen in my life. But when I have a sense that I have done something that God wanted me to do, there is a satisfaction there. There is a fulfillment there that surpasses everything else. So if you're in Christ, you're qualified to serve. Listen, the truth is this. You're not an ordinary person. You're an extraordinary person because of your position in Jesus Christ. So a missional life is an ordinary life, but it's also an available life. Each of these individuals in chapter 11 made themselves available to God. The attitude of their heart was, yes, yes, Lord. Not, well, I don't know, let's talk about it, let's negotiate. No, it was simply, yes. Now, Jesus made himself available. In Matthew 20, we find these words, two blind men cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Jesus stopped, called them, and said, what do you want me to do? Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Notice Jesus stopped, and then he moved with compassion. You see, if you want to be used by God, if you want to serve God, if you want to live a missional life, it's going to be full of interruptions. You know, almost all of Jesus' miracles and his ministry was centered around the interruptions that came to his life. He didn't intentionally plan it out. Now, of course, God knew what was happening as a sovereign God, but he was available. He was serving God as he knew what he was to do, but in those moments, people came to him and he served them. That was his mission. Proverbs 3:28, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you have it now with you. Has that ever happened to you? You've had this interruption in life and somebody is asking something of you and you know that there's this opportunity. Well, in those moments, that's where God is positioning you with an interruption so that he can use you as a missional person. Servant-hearted people don't procrastinate. John Wesley's motto was this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Most of us say, I'm going to get as much as I can, I'm going to put it in the can, and I'm going to sit on the can. It's all about me. But his motto was just the opposite. It was about serving others. You must be available. Now, what makes us unavailable? A couple of things. First of all, self-centeredness. Paul said, everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. Now that's a good balance, what Paul says. Yes, I have interest, you have interest. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to invest in ourselves. But he says we should be looking at the interest of others also. So when that opportunity comes right in front of our face, we have the opportunity to consider others as more important than ourselves. The number one enemy of compassion is busyness. You know, I have my ambitions, my dreams, my job, my list of things to do, and we don't see the opportunities. We don't really need to pray, God, give me an opportunity to serve you. That's not really correct theologically, because God is giving us the opportunity. We need to take advantage of the opportunity. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 5:17, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. They come. God gives it to us. We just need to take advantage of those opportunities. Self-centeredness. Another reason we're not available is perfectionism. Ecclesiastes 11:4. One who watches the wind will not sow, and the one who looks at the clouds will not reap. You see, he's saying if we wait for perfect conditions, we're not going to do anything. We're going to put it off. We're going to wait for the perfect time in our lives to serve God. There's no such thing. Have you heard people say, well, after I find my mate, I'll serve God. After I start my career, I'll serve God. After the kids are grown and gone, I'll serve God. After I pay college debt, I'll serve God. Listen, that'll never end. I mean, in today's world, you'll never serve the Lord. Or when I retire, I'll serve the Lord. You see, we're waiting for the perfect moment to serve, and we're never serving. We're not fulfilling God's mission. Another reason that we're unavailable is materialism. We're so busy taking care of our things that we're not taking care of people. Again, why did God put us here? To take care of others. You see, God wants you to be a kingdom builder, and the kingdom of God is about people. That's what it's all about. So we need to be building people. So God wants to make you available to serve Him. Now I want to take a moment and I want to make this real practical for you. Michaela talked about Vacation Bible School, where we need some folks to help serve. Now, just ask you, if I really stop thinking about it, do I have time? Can I make time, create time, some space where I can serve God? We just need a few more to help us out. And that's a very simple thing that you can do to live a missional life, to invest in somebody else. But I want to talk about the announcement you heard earlier about City to City. Some time ago, the staff really felt a deep conviction by God, and I really mean that, that as God has blessed our church financially, we've been able to do some upgrades with the facility. We've been able to help our ministries grow because of the funds that you have given. And we felt like that we really need to be missional with some of these funds, where we are making an impact in our community. And we're not talking about a small amount of money. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars, where we're asking you to give up a day, one day this year, July 13th. And I'm going to ask you to carve out some time during the day and in the evening. Our life groups, we're communicating with those leaders, and they're going to talk to you if you're in a life group class about something that you can do on that day. For those who are not a part of a life group class, we're going to ask you to show up the morning of July the 13th, and we're going to have a lot of options for you to serve in some way. Now, that may mean that you go to somebody's house and you work on the house, you work on the yard. It may be that your class goes to a gas station or a couple of those, and you have gas cards, and you just stand there at the pump and you fill up people's gas. We're all going to be wearing the same t-shirts that day. They're not going to say Linwood on the t-shirts. It's not about Linwood. It's about Him. We want people just to experience the love of Christ. And you're just going to pump gas and say, have a great day. And I promise you, there'll be some conversations that are created. They're going to want to know who you are. Why are you doing this? Where'd you come from? Now, if you tell them you're an angel from God, you better be able to explain that. Because, you know, I don't know if you are or not. But think of that, the opportunity we're going to have. And there's all kinds of things. Over in Jackson, we're going to work with a food bank out of southeast Missouri, and we're going to do some food distribution. We're going to be delivering food to families over in that part. Over here in Cape, we're working with the schools, and they said, we have a great need for backpacks. So we're going to help get all that ready and together for the kids starting school this coming year. School's been great working with us on this. So many other things that we're going to try to do. And then that evening, we're going to have an event downtown at the gazebo, and we're going to feed the community who comes. It's going to be free, and we're going to have a time where we worship the Lord. Gabe and the band's going to lead us. It's going to be a great night. Now, I think that's going to be a game changer in our community. Why? Because on one day, there was this synergy created by a body of believers who said, we're going to do something missional. We're going to do something beyond ourselves. We're going to make ourselves available. So we're giving you some lead time, more details coming, but man, I'm really excited. We hope this will be an annual event. We create momentum where this community begins to learn that, hey, there's some people here in this community that really care about what's going on here and about us. So a missional life is an ordinary life. It's an available life. Third, it's a grateful life. To serve like Jesus, we have to serve gratefully. Grateful that we get the opportunity to serve. Remember the story of Lazarus, Jesus raised him from the dead in John 11, and Jesus said this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He was thankful for the opportunity to serve, to be used by God. And we need to have grateful hearts. Jesus was grateful in the good times, and he was grateful in the tough times. The Apostle Paul was grateful. He wrote to Timothy and said, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. The psalmist writes, serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. Now, why do we serve the Lord with gladness? Why do we have grateful hearts? Because God in his great grace and mercy sent his son Jesus Christ to live a sinless life and die on the cross for our sin. He saved us. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're living missional lives. It's not about us. It's not about our church. It's about him. And that's the only reason. Listen, if you have any other reason for serving God other than him, You're going to be very frustrated in ministry. Because, you see, that's the calling of God on your lives as a believer. I'm doing it for him. The reason why I do what I do and I've been able to stay at it as long as I have is for one reason, and that is it is the calling of God on my life to live a missional life, and I'm very clear as to what that mission is. I'm grateful that he has saved me and called me to serve him. Now there are two barriers to serving the Lord. One is comparing and criticizing. Paul says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. You see, we're all servants, and so it's a matter of his opinion, not your opinion, not my opinion, anybody else's opinion, about who I am or what I'm doing. As long as I'm doing what he has said I must do. See, competition with each other in service doesn't make sense. I'm comparing myself to somebody else. We compare our church to another church. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Why? For one reason. We're all on the same team. There's one body of Christ, Jesus being the head of the body. So why waste time and energy? You see, that's Satan's trap. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. It only matters what God has told you to do and fulfilling your mission in life. Another barrier to gratefulness is a wrong motivation, why you do what you do. Jesus said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them, otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You see, self-promotion and serving, they don't mix. Now, what we're talking about in July is not self-serving. We're not promoting us. We're just being God's servants, loving on our community. And in that, we're doing it hopefully for the right reason. We have to be honest with ourselves about why we do what we do, why we serve. We serve sometimes because we want other people to like us. You've done something good for me. I like you. You're a good person. We serve to be admired. We serve to reach our own goals. We serve as a bargaining chip with God. Hey, I've been living this missional life. It's time for you to help me. God, I've been serving you. God, I've been pastoring your churches all these years. I need help. You say, it's the wrong motivation. It's about me. See, it's just, I'm serving. I'm grateful because of who he is and what he's done. How do you know if you have the wrong motivations in serving? It's gratitude. It's your attitude. When you lose a sense of gratefulness, you can know right away there's something wrong with your motivation. A missional life is also a faithful life. This means you don't give up. This was especially true of these in Hebrews chapter 11. They didn't quit. They fulfilled their mission. At the end of Jesus' ministry on this earth, he said, I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I want you to say that. When it's all said and done, Lord, I did the work you called me to do. I want to be able to say that. God, I did what you called me to do. I don't know how well I did it, but I fulfilled it to the very end. Jesus was faithful in fulfilling his service. He was persistent. He completed it. He didn't give up. If you're going to be like Jesus, it means you're going to serve until you die. You know, in the Bible, the word retirement's not there. There's no such thing as retirement in God's word. Now, you may retire from your job, but you never stop serving the Lord. You never retire from serving God. One day, I'll no longer be your pastor. I will retire from the pastorate. But that doesn't mean it's over for me in serving God. I'll continue to serve him however he chooses to use me. I'll be ready for my next assignment, whatever that means. You know, sometimes we come to the end and we think, how can God use me? Senior adults maybe in this room. How can God use me? It's getting to the end. I can see it. You know, I believe that some in heaven, many in heaven probably, are going to have a lot more in their crown, more jewels in their crown, because they were faithful prayer warriors. There may be some right now watching us who are homebound, and you can't go to church anymore. You can't come to a life group class. You can't go serve like we're talking about July the 13th. But you still have a missional life. And you can do that by praying, because I believe there's real power in prayer. It's one of the game changers we talked about. Think about how much you've been able to do simply because somebody has been praying for you. In heaven, we'll get to meet those people. We know some are praying for us, but they're going to people walk up to you and they're going to say, you know, I was praying for you about that. You never knew it. So don't come to the end of your life and listen to a lie that's from the enemy who says your life has no value. You're on the bottom shelf. God can't use you. No, God can still use all of us in serving the Lord. We don't ever quit doing that. We be faithful. We stay grateful. We don't retire. Well, what we are doing today really matters. Paul says, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, it is significant. Now, finally, a missional life is a sacrificial life. All of these in Hebrews chapter 11 sacrificed their lives, even unto death. They were willing to sacrifice their time, their possessions, their careers, their reputations, their lives. And you know when they did that? When they sacrificed their life, they found life. It's the great paradox principle. I have to die in order to live. It's going to cost us something, but when it costs us, we'll be greatly rewarded. Have you wondered why you're here at Linwood? Why did God bring you to this church? To consume or to contribute? Again, I'm not talking about money. We're doing great financially. I'm talking about giving your life, allowing God to use you through this church to reach our community for Jesus Christ and to reach the world. In case you're wondering, that is why he brought you here. I mean, I hope that this church is able to help you grow in understanding God's word. You grow in praying. You grow in other ways. That your kids are blessed here. That they learn about God. I hope it's great that you come here on Sundays and you lift your praises to the Lord. That's not all why he brought you here. Not to consume. Not what will help you. But the greatest thing that will help you is living a missional life. You see, when it boils down to it, it comes down to one of two things about your life. You can waste it or you can invest it. And God wants you to invest your life in something that's going to outlast you, and that's his kingdom. We're going to stand before him one day, and he's going to ask us, what did you do with the time and the gifts and the abilities that I gave you? Well, God, I was busy. I just had a lot on my plate. And he's going to reply, you think I put you here on earth so that you could love you? Well, I put you here on earth so that you could love others. The writer of Hebrews says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Elvis, he won one Grammy, as great as he was. One album. After selling over 250 million albums. And the album was a religious album called He Touched Me. And there was a song on that album with these words. After the lightning and thunder, after the last bell has rung, I want to bow down before Jesus and hear him say, well done, my son. He's the reason for living. He is my King of Kings. I long to be in his possession. He is my everything. Is God going to be able to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant? Well, you might say, well, what's in it for me? I'm serving everybody else. What's in it for me? Listen to this. Serving God by serving others serves you. Serving God by serving others serves you. You will have fulfillment. You'll experience his joy if you live a missional life. Listen, it's a game changer. Why else are we here? What greater joy could we experience by knowing that I served him by serving others? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I don't have a missional life because I really don't have a life with God. I don't have a relationship with him. And I've come to understand this morning my need to know God. Not know about him, but to truly know him. And to experience his forgiveness of my sin, as you mentioned. Well, the Bible says that that can happen today by recognizing that God loves you, He created you. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. But your sin separated you from a holy God who cannot look on your sin and cannot allow sin into heaven. But God solved that problem by sending Jesus Christ to earth to live a sinless life, be the perfect sacrifice, to pay your sin, the penalty of your sin, to satisfy God's wrath against sin, but also to take your place. And it means that you're willing to turn from your sin, turn from your way, and turn to Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Now, you may not know how to do that. You may have questions about that. But in a moment, we want to give you the opportunity to make that commitment. We want to help you do that. And so, when we sing this next song, we're going to invite you to come, and somebody here will help you make that commitment of your life. There are many in this room who would say, I know the Lord, I love Him, but I'm really not living a missional life. I'm a consumer. And I've realized that. But I really want to understand, I want to experience a missional life, serving God. Well, we want to help you do that. You may want to call the church office. You can go online. You can send an email. And we'll help you find that place where God wants you to serve. You know, sometimes we think about serving God just as a position in the church, but it's really much more than that. It's learning how to engage others so that they can experience Christ and equip them for life. There are many different ways that can be done in and through the church. So let us know and we'll help you. God may be leading some of you to become part of our church family. God wants you to belong to a local church, to the family of God. We're not a perfect church, but we're trying to live a missional life as a church, to reach our community for Christ, to reach the world for Christ. And we'd love for you to be a part of what God's doing here at Linwood. There may be others who need to come and pray here at the front. Maybe you want somebody to pray for you. We have somebody ready to do that. God, I thank you so much for helping me understand what you desire to do in and through my life. And God, I pray that in these years that I really have a tight focus in fulfilling that. And Lord, I pray that you'll help these here understand how you want to use them for your glory, for your purpose, which will bring the satisfaction, the fulfillment that we're longing for in life. So help these who need to respond now. In Jesus' name, amen.